The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
Well, hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you this morning, and we have got a great, great show headed your way. It is Thursday, August the 17th, and that is the first day of the Wyndham Championship in Greensboro, North Carolina, the first tournament after the PGA Championship. Kevin Kisner, who looked for a while like he was going to win his first major in the field, along with a lot of other great golfers, and they're tearing it up right now. Webb Simpson was 5-under through five holes. He's now through six holes. Matt Every, 5-under through five holes as well, so Von Taylor also high on the leaderboard. So these guys are playing very, very well early on in the first round of the Wyndham Championship. Again, that's in North Carolina. Our good friend Art Sellinger will be joining us here in a second. He is in South Carolina. We'll explain why he's in South Carolina. And we'll be for at least the next 4 years, probably for a good long chunk of the time. And we're going to talk to Art about the bodies that are breaking down on the tour. And a lot of this comes back to what Lee Trevino and John Daly were saying a few weeks ago, which is they don't even know if there will be a Champions Tour in the future, A, because the money may not mean as much to the young guys today that it did to the guys 25 and 30 years ago who started a Champions Tour, and B, their bodies aren't going to hold up long enough to play on a Champions Tour because we already see the breakdown, not only Tiger in a dramatic way, but Rory, Jason Day, Dustin Johnson, on and on. All these guys have an injury, so we're going to talk to Art about that as well in just a minute. Frank Bassett joins us, as always, from the Nashville studios. How you doing, Frank?
All right. Getting ready for the eclipse, yeah. The epic eclipse. We're ground zero, too.
Country's
here in Nashville.
Crazy about this.
It's nuts. It's all over the TV here. We have a million people coming into this city, this area.
How long does it last? I mean, is it an hour or two?
A three-hour event as it starts, okay? And yeah. then the total eclipse is about 2 minutes here, and then it goes away, and that's it. So, you know, frogs falling from the sky, dogs running backwards and barking, and cats screaming, and whatever.
It's going to be crazy. It's the first one we've had in, 99 years. Yeah. So that's why it's significant.
So here's the deal before we get started on the real show. Yes. Read an article. A woman who owns a big farm has rented out 700 camping spots already. Okay, at $1,500 a piece. Oh, it's just a plot of land. You park your car, $1,500 bucks. Watch the eclipse.
Basically, it's a parking lot now.
It's a parking lot.
$1,500 to park your car. Is that right?
She's already sold 700 spots, cash up front, over $1 million in her back pocket. I want to give her name and address out so the IRS can go ahead and get their cut. I'm jealous.
Sure. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
That is pretty
impressive.
It's going
to be nuts here Monday.
It's all coming on that one. Yeah, 21st. 21st, the eclipse.
You bet.
Hey, you can probably hear him panting and waiting to get in on the conversation because he's got a lot to talk about. That's our good friend Art Sellinger on the phone with us from South Carolina. Art, how you doing today?
I wish I had a farm.
Me too.
Wow.
I'd do it for $100 a spot. You know? Yeah? And tell us why you're in South Carolina.
Well, because we relocated here, and I'm still going to be going back to Dallas to our golf shops, but this will be basically it's kind of like going to a cemetery and pre-buying your deathbed. So I pre-bought my retirement spot 10 years prior.
Not close to Carl Paulson, are you?
You know, I don't know where even Carl lives, but I like Carl, so maybe I'll say hi. But I'm in outside of Charleston, right over the bridge. So it's a beautiful area down here.
Oh, God. You're close to Kiowa.
Our daughter's going to Furman. So we'll be three and a half hours from her and watch her play a little basketball. So it's a nice spot. Love it down here.
You're close to Kiowa then, aren't you?
We're about an hour north of Kiowa. 25 minutes to an hour north of Kiowa. So it's great. I've been checking out a little of the golf around here, and I'm just waiting for the temperature to drop. You know, down a little bit. It's a little bit humid down here, so it's nice, but we're in ground zero also of the total eclipse, solar eclipse, and we're getting off the island. We're getting out of here.
Yeah.
Hey, Tim, we've got our place to go to now. We have a place in South Carolina we can go to and hang out and play golf.
I heard the invitation in there.
In
there.
It's in there somewhere.
Invitation.
Anytime.
There it is. We got it.
Come on. We'll have a great time and bring your wallets and we'll just have fun.
Oh boy.
There is a little bit of golf in South Carolina. It's a heck of a mecca for golf.
Heck of a mecca. I like that.
Yeah.
You know, we're having 25, 30 years. Fields on the 6th tee. because he was the most vocal as a club member of Quail Hollow, and he said it was just flat out too hard. And, you know, I don't understand that. Flat out too hard. Somebody wins the golf tournament 8-under par. How do you think Hale Irwin feels when he shot like 9-over at Wingfoot to win? So, you know, so I didn't quite get that. It's too hard. I think it's too hard when 5, 6, 7-over par wins it. But when 8-under wins it, you know, I just don't see how that can happen. But he's got to feel like he's playing a miniature golf course at Wyndham this morning.
That's remember when David Duval won the Players' Championship in those days, the TPC, at 1-under, and he was the only person under par on that course. That was hard.
Yeah, well, you know, he says, I don't know what direction the PGA is trying to go. I mean, again, I think it was, if you ball struck it well and you know, you putted it well, I think it was about two to three pin placements a day that were questionable, but a lot of guys embraced that did well. Hey, it's the same for everybody. Got to make the best of it. You always have to just stay patient and accept. And those guys that did it, I mean, there was a lot of guys that played well. I been thinking about that comment now since the PGA ended, and I just don't get that comment. Well, the 800 par won the golf tournament.
Here's a quote from Kevin Kisner. It says, the best part about having a family is they don't really care. It was on to watching Beauty and the Beast about 30 minutes after the 18th hole. We watched Beauty and the Beast and ate fast food in the car. So, there you go.
You know,
he got over it quick. He got over it.
The best comment in the world. I was counseling a young player and who was, you know, talking about, you know, playing some mini tour golf. And I said, you know, when you're over that 6-footer, there's billions of people around the world that just don't care about your little 6-footer in the middle of nowhere. So, you know what? Yeah, I think you're caring a little bit too much about it too. And just, you know, just hit the pot. Yeah. I mean, nobody cares. Bad stuff going on in this world and playing golf. Oh. Nobody cares, Mr. Simpson, that you think that golf course was too hard.
Yeah.
Even when 8-under par won the golf tournament.
We're joined by Art Zellinger. Former Long Drive champion and still involved and still keeps an eye on what's going on with Long Drive. We'll talk about that in a second. First question I want to ask you, though, right now is about the PGA Championship. Justin Thomas wins it. Was it just a matter of when, not if, Justin Thomas? Did you see it in him that he would be a major champion?
I mean, this guy does everything right, and he has just been groomed for this. So, I mean, it's not like he took a long time. He's 24 to win his first major. We just, again, comparing that to the guys like Rory and comparing it to Jordan, but yes, it was just a matter of when. It wasn't a matter of if. And this guy is going to be just unbelievable. And right now, he's leading player of the year. He's won 4 times.
Sure.
Shot 59. I mean, he has just shot nothing his whole life. Thoughts to it. I mean, he just groomed for it. Love his stature. I like that wiry body he's got, and I hope he stays just like that, 160 pounds dripping wet. Don't try to get massive and wear one of those tight golf shirts that Jason Day is wearing. Don't get underneath the barbell. Just, he can fly at 320-30 yards on command, and that's plenty. 182 miles an hour ball speed, and he's just got the gift of speed. I just hope his left knee doesn't get destroyed. That's about it. Just like you said, what the guys were saying, the straight left leg, the lock left knee. So you got to watch out for that knee, but he'll be great. He's going to be great.
Well, you can speak certainly to tearing a body up, and you've been involved in long driving, had been for more than half your life, and competing at that level. And first of all, give us a rundown of some of your body injuries that you put yourself through and what you had to overcome.
I never knew what to do, number one, to prevent injury. All I did was, when I got hurt, I tried to deal with it either through rest, rehabilitation, or surgery, and I chose surgery 7 times. My left knee's destroyed. You know, I had 3 surgeries on it. Tiger, I think, has had 4 or 5, and the locking of the left knee, the straightening of the left leg, that thing's like a cement post that you hit against, and you're basically airborne at the point of strike. You saw that on the slow-mo stuff with Justin Thomas, and you'll see it in long drive if you watch the World Long Drive Championship on Golf Channel. Every single slow-mo we do, you know, you're off the ground. I came off the ground 30 years ago. And the older player, the champions player from you know, now or yesteryear, you know, Watson and Trevino and all those guys, they had flexed knees through the golf ball. It all started, you know, you look at Byron Nelson way back when. Nobody straightened their left leg and came up off the ground to hit it so hard. So what happens is that the linkage in the body just breaks down and kind of really starts with the knee and the hip, and then the low back goes because the hip's out of alignment and the hip's hurting, and then the back goes, and that's what kind of happened to Jason Day. And Tim, we talked a little bit about this, and I see Jordan a lot, all the time when he's home. He's next door to my shop there in Dallas. He goes to Dr. Troy Van Beezen. Troy travels the tour, does active release technique. Jordan's on the table every single day on the road in getting these treatments. Plus, he does chirotherapy. So he's really out ahead of the curve preventing. I think Troy is taking care of 11 or 12 guys on tour, maybe more. And those guys aren't getting hurt. So that's the big injury deal right there. It starts again with the hip and the knee, and all of a sudden it's the low right back. It's that single-sided move, and they're swinging so hard. Jason Day swings as hard as anybody I've ever seen swing. I mean, it's crazy what they're doing. And then as soon as they're done playing, they go work out and lift weights. I'm sorry to be long-winded on this answer. I have to tell this story. A friend of mine lives in South Beach, and he texts me immediately. This is years ago, and 7-8 years ago, Tiger was in the gym at Equinox in South Beach, and he texts me. He goes, you know, Tiger's here. He's working out. He watched him work out. He couldn't believe it. Then he texts me again. He goes, he's on the tee in 90 minutes. Okay? I'm talking front squats. I'm talking, you cannot believe the amount of weight he was pushing. The next thing you know, he shoots 65 that round. It was either a Thursday or Friday at Doral, which is very close by, but still 90, yeah. 100 minutes before, he's got weight on his shoulders. It's incredible. And it just doesn't work. You just can't lift this much weight and stay in it for the long haul.
Again, we're talking with Art Selinger, long drive champion, who knows all about the torque the body is under when you're trying to hit a ball as far as you can hit a ball. So why do they still do it, Art? I mean, try to get into their heads. Why, if we know this, and we've known it for a while, and if Tiger even was the bell cow to say, okay, don't go down that road, why are we continuing to see other golfers go down that road and lift weights and do things that they're being told not to do?
I don't understand. Like, I know DJ's workouts and Kepka's workouts with Joey B are incredible, and I'm not near at their level of knowledge. But I'm just trying to use just some logic here, just some basic smarts. And you're tearing the body up as much weight as they're lifting. And I don't see it. I love Troy oversees the workouts. Jordan works out hard. Trust me, but he's real careful how much he lifts and things like, you know, that Damon Goddard is his trainer, but Troy oversees his body on the road. Troy's on the road 25 weeks. And I mean, I talked to Troy right before Jordan won the Masters. He's on the table that morning. You know, I've seen it at Colonial. That's what they do. And I manage Jamie Sedlowski, and he gets as much ART treatments as he can. And now that Jamie's playing full time, the lifting's over. Jamie lifted hard for long drive, but now it's about staying lean and it's about staying healthy. It's about staying in alignment. But you don't need to lift weights to hit a golf ball far. Absolutely no correlation, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you're right. We talked with Troy Van Beezen earlier this week on the show, and he was talking about exactly that, working on the core and other parts of the body, but not weightlifting.
Absolutely.
And we talked about the fact that, as we brought up before, will these guys be around to have a Champions Tour in a few years? John Daly, Lee Trevino, of others have said the tour's going to finally, on its own, just kind of fade away. There won't be guys. A, the money won't be necessary for them to earn it, but B, they're not going to be able to hold up until they're 50 years old to play on a Champions Tour. Do you agree with that?
I don't think the Champions Tour dies. I can't believe some of the guys, and I'm not going to sit here and name names and call people out, but I know have just an incredible amount of money, and I can't believe they go play every single Champions Tour event. I don't think they know what else they're going to do with themselves. They've traveled and played competitive golf since they're in their early 20s. And now 30 years later, I don't think they know what to do. So they'll go play. They love playing.
I agree with
and
that.
They're going to play as long as they can play.
Yeah, I agree totally with that. I think that they,
you know,
I know several, and as you do, we know guys. Yeah, we know guys on the PGA Tour champions, and they don't. When they're around town, a couple that live here in Nashville, they're like, oh, well, go play golf today. You want to go play golf?
Yeah.
That's all they know. That's really all they know. So.
And just remember, on the PGA Tour champions, they're going to go ahead and get to ride a cart as well.
Oh yeah,
they're going to make it around. Now, again, if they can prevent the big injury, and again, I can't believe, you know, I think that I'm one of the biggest Duval fans there is, absolutely since day one. Just one of my favorite players of all time, one of my favorite people of all time. But I think he hurt himself trying to be like Tiger and get, first off, it messes up your golf swing. And yeah. I know Timmy Heron now for over 35 years. And when all these guys have tried to lose a bunch of weight, they're swinging, they're starting from scratch because they're used to have that big trunk to just swing around. But now they're all thin. It doesn't work. Stadler tried it. Heron tried it. A lot of these guys, Duval.
Duffner.
Duval introduced the left side of the golf course when he lost all that weight. But I think that hard working out is also another thing that'll just mess you up. I think it's messed Rory up. I really do.
Do you think Rory's done for the year?
Oh, I absolutely think he's done. I mean, you know, he's hurt. He can't. Yeah. These guys can't practice. So everybody's like, you know, what's wrong with Rory? He can't practice. They have a lot of distraction going on, but they can't practice like they used to practice. That's the key, is they cannot physically. And I'm telling you, I'm 52 years old. I've got arthritis in both hands. I've had 7 surgeries. I can hit 60 range balls. And I'm telling you, the first 40 kill me. And then I can go play. And that's all I got. I couldn't play a 4-day golf tournament. And I've been caddying a little for Jamie Sadlowski up in Canada. And caddying is unbelievable. But he had a golf club in his hand 20 out of 21 days. I mean, that's hard on the body. And that single-sided move, that right-sided movement, all the time. So he's totally in the gym. He's stretching so much, working on flexibility and working on injury prevention. You know, that's it, injury prevention. Everything he can do to stay in alignment and to stay healthy so that he can get up and hit balls and walk the next day. That's the key.
You know, that's what Troy said, Tim, if you recall. That's what Van Beesen told us.
He
said, when I asked the question about recovery, it's as important as anything, probably more, to go in and stretch and take a post-round treatment. Yeah. So,
hey, I'll tell you one more thing, guys. I got to tell you, because Van Beesen's got the Cairo thing next door to my shop and his studio in there. They're the best, and I'm telling you, they are. After Jordan won the U.S. Open up there at Chambers Bay, okay, he won that thing late on Sunday. Tuesday morning, or Monday late afternoon, he was at the shop, came in to say hello, which was awesome by him because he's great, and right in the Cairo chamber.
Yeah.
Right in the Cairo chamber. And then 2 times a day when he's home, and he's always in there. And again, he's on the table every day. And that is all about injury prevention. And this kid has not had a twinge of an injury. And Tim, you're from Dallas. I'm from Dallas. We watched Jordan grow up. He's played tournament golf since he's like 7, you know? So we're talking, for 17 years, he played as much tournament golf as Tiger Woods did. And he's 24 now. And he hasn't had one thing go wrong, because he started all this when he was a junior golfer. He didn't start this as a pro. He was going next door when he was 16. For 8 years, he's been going there. So he was on to something.
We're joined again by long drive champion Art Selinger, and we're talking about the body breaking down. The Cairo chamber you're talking about, for people that aren't familiar with that, is the sub-zero chamber that you go and stand in for just a few minutes at a time, but it reduces inflammation, does all kinds of great things, and I've done it several times. It feels great, especially in the middle of the summer when it's 105 degrees out. You go in, it's like it's just a nice refreshing break for a while. But yeah, a lot of guys are doing it. NFL teams, a lot of people are doing that for treatment. And I highly recommend it for anybody that has any kind of inflammation, which we all do, all over our bodies. I'm also curious, Art, with the locking of that left knee, which is a key, you're saying, towards preventing or instigating an injury. How much difference yardage-wise if a Rory or a Day doesn't lock his knee, if he's hitting it 325 locking his knee, what difference would it make to him? Would he see a 5-yard difference, a 10-yard difference if he doesn't lock his
knee? I think you'd see more like a 20-yard difference. Okay. You know, if you want to watch the difference in their action, watch them hit a nice pitching wedge on video. Just go to YouTube and watch all the wedges, nines and eights that you see, and then watch the driver and watch how different the action is. And the feet go off the ground because they're swinging so hard. They know how to use the ground so much. So the straightening of that left leg is just tearing that left knee up. And I'm telling you that, and the hips, they fire so fast. And if the hip gets out of alignment, then all of a sudden your back's done. As soon as the hip is the number one thing, and I've listened to Troy for hours, the hips are the number one deal. If they get out of alignment, then low right back, low left back, knees, they're susceptible. And I've dealt with this with my daughter as a basketball player, and her hips got out of alignment. She was susceptible to an injury, and she tore ACL 2 years ago. Thank God she came back, but that's now we work on always staying in alignment. Jamie, you think about how many golf balls and how hard Jamie Sadlowski's hit the golf ball, plus hockey, and he has never gone down with a major injury other than getting hit in the face playing hockey. So,
well, the truth is, too, Art, if you look
really,
at...
He's done this stuff, so I agree with you. They would hit it 20 yards shorter is what it would be, but they'd last a long time.
Because you look at Jamie, even as an example of a long driver, and nobody hit it better longer than Jamie. As a comparison to other guys that would compete in the World Long Drive Championships and the regional, he is tiny compared to those guys. So it's not about the size, and that's what people have to understand. It's not about – we saw Justin Thomas hit the heck out of the golf ball. He's not a big guy either. So it's not about being, in your case, in long driving, 6'4", 260 to hit it further, because Jamie – what's Jamie weighing now, 170 maybe, 165?
He's 160. Tim, in all my years, in my heyday in the mid-'80s to the mid-'90s, I never got underneath a barbell once. It has nothing to do with how far you hit the golf ball. Nothing.
Yeah.
That lightning speed is in the hips and in the hands that these guys can do. Incredible. I love Justin Thomas's father getting up there for the interview, and he stole the words out of my mouth. I loved hearing it. They said, you know, what's the key to him hitting it far and all this? He looked over Rich Lerner and said, Rich, Justin hits the ball in the middle of the club face. You want to hit it far, everybody listening? Hit it in the middle of the face, and you'll hit it a lot farther. But you're exactly right. You know, I mean, just you do not have to lift weights to hit a ball far, okay? You've got to be able to swing something fast.
Well, yeah.
And that doesn't mean you have to bench press 250, you know, or front squat 350, or who knows these things, you know? I can get on my knees and hit a golf ball 300 yards. I can stand on 1 foot and hit a golf ball 300 yards. It's all speed-driven in the fast twitch muscles of the hands, the wrists. It has nothing to do with how much weight you can press.
Yeah. The other thing you haven't said yet, and I know you're thinking this, or at least I think you are, go get fitted. Don't go buy a set of clubs off a rack and go hit them and expect to play well, because you're not going to. They don't match you. Nobody can pick them out except Bobby Jones, who handpicked his clubs. And when they tested them, if you recall, they were all in compliance with his swing. Today, there's so many retail shops out there that just, you know, $29.95 off the rack, great, thank you. It doesn't work. If you want to play the game well, take a lesson, get fitted. And then you can, and then learn to hit the ball in the club face, like you say, right square in the middle, which is hard.
Absolutely.
For
I mean, that's what we do for 14 years in Dallas with two studios. We custom fit everybody, and we make every single set of golf clubs. We don't do what's called expedited fitting off of a manufacturer's fitting cart. We fit them, and then we build the golf clubs in-house. Fitting golf clubs makes a huge, huge difference in how you play, but we'll send 15-20% of the fittings we do walking and tell them to go get some golf lessons and hit the face, and then we can better fit them. But I will also say the golf clubs move with you as you get better. The investment's worth it. It used to be a lot harder when it was just a glued in driver, gents. You guys know that. Now you can adjust loft one down or two up. You can adjust the face of the golf club to a draw or a fade bias. You can move weight as your swing changes with your teacher, you can, your golf club is not obsolete. Your golf club and the shaft is interchangeable, so the head travels for a long, long time. So invest in the golf shaft. The head's not going to make the difference. The golf shaft will.
Yep, I agree 100%. Now, how do people get in touch with you, Art, if they want to go to your studios in Dallas?
Yeah, give us your website.
They can go to SellingersPowerGolf.com and, you know, make a fitting appointment, and we'll analyze them and start from there. But yeah, we're doing great. We only have one bay in each shop, and again, it's great being a neighbor with Troy, because people that go in there are golfers, and I love that we can take care of all the tour players that need a tweak in Dallas, but and junior golfers and college players, but also higher handicappers and ladies that are out there that play. So we're really enjoying what we're doing, and it's really working.
I'm scared to death to go into Art's shop, Tim, because if I do, I'm going to be one of the people he's going to send walking and say, go learn to hit it on the face and then come back.
We're everybody.
We promise we are, you know, so it's fun. We're having a great time with our business.
My hosels are worn out.
You know, I love it that we've never advertised in 14 years, and we're as busy as we can be.
That's great. That's great stuff.
Yeah. Word gets around. Everybody knows how good it is. Again, it's SellingersPowerGolf.com is the website. Check it out. And if you're in Dallas, they got a couple of locations. Stop by, and they'll be happy to check out your swing and fix you up with some clubs that you can hit it a couple of miles worth. Art, thanks so much for your time. We do appreciate it. Best of luck in the new life out there in the low country. Oh. And best of luck to Hannah.
Yeah, the low country.
With her
career,
I'll
be in too. Dallas 20
cool.
days a month. Gents, you guys, you're spot on everything. I really love listening, and thanks for having me on. Appreciate
sure.
it. Take care.
Thanks, Art.
All right. Take care, Art. Art Sellinger, long drive champion, and does know exactly what he's talking about, because in addition to just hitting the ball a long way, he played golf at UNLV. He's a very good golfer, and he played a few PGA Tour events and lesser. So he knows the game of golf, but he really knows what he's talking about when it comes to. He told me that about Duval 25 years ago when Duval was first starting to get fit. He goes, you know what? When Nicklaus tried to lose weight, he changed his swing, and it hurt him. If guys have always been a certain weight, as he said, if they're a little thicker, that's their swing. And if you try to – people talk about like Colt Knost. There's some guys that are a little bit bigger on the tour. If Colt Knost suddenly dropped 50 pounds, he would not – be effective with the swing he has because he's used to swinging around that body.
Colt Ford.
Guys are, you know, yeah.
Ooh.
yeah. You
did
see
you,
him?
Did
yeah.
you catch my
they
little.
Get caught up in there in the, you know, mirror.
Did you catch my little pitch? I told Art that I need to replace my hosels. They're all worn out on my wedge.
Yes. Yes. That's where you're hitting the ball a little bit too much on that hosel.
Well, that's, yeah, you know, and I've gotten that cured. Michael Breed helped me with that, by the way. So that's done. Shank no more.
There you go.
I said that word. I swore I'd never
Shank
say that
you,
word.
Michael Breed.
Shank you, Michael. That's pretty good. I like that. I like that. Hey, the Wyndham Championship
this week is
underway. And, you know, Kisner's he has a 12 o'clock Central, 1 o'clock Eastern tee time. I hope he does well because he really took a slap in the face in stride when he talked about, you know, family could care less. I'm with my family. I love hearing that from the players. You know, get your priorities right. You know, that's more important than that.
Yeah.
That's
it'll
the
eventually
game
come
that we love.
It, major, it made it all.
He's a good guy. Yeah. He's a good person. Yeah. I mean, but Webb Simpson saying what he said and Art bringing it up. I mean, you know, Webb gets in his own way sometimes, doesn't he? He shouldn't have said that. It's not too hard.
It was his home course too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he lives right there on the course.
Yeah.
So for anybody, it should have been, you know, a guy who's familiar with it. But we hear that every time at any tournament, somebody's going to say it's not fair, it's not this, they don't like this. And okay, I mean, it's more really about them and their game not being where it needs to be. Because as Art said, we always say somebody ends up winning the tournament.
They put that windmill and that alligator mouth in the wrong place. That's the problem.
Somebody gets it in the hole. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Hey, Frank, let's take
it.
A quick break. We got Paul Sankowski is going to be joining us here, a PGA Tour pro, and also doing a lot of work on PGA Tour Radio and Sirius XM. So let's take a time out. We'll come back and talk to Paul Sankowski when we come back. You're listening to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio. Okay.
Bring us in, Tim. Hello, Tim.
Frank, start that one again. I hardly even heard the music. I could hardly hear it.
How's that music?
You like that better?
Hey, just a little background of how the show works. We're live. So there. Bring us in. We're live.
Can I go?
Yeah, go.
Okay. Welcome back. Golf Talk America. I'm going as fast as I can go. I couldn't hear anything there. Wow. That's what I get for doing a show in my backyard. Welcome back to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio. We're just talking with Art Selinger. We're now joined. Of course, we have Frank Bassett in the National Studios and Paul Sankowski, PGA Tour veteran and also a grizzled veteran now on the radio part of it, doing Sirius XM, PGA Tour Radio. Paul Sankowski joins us. How you doing, Paul?
Man, I'm well. It's an early morning. You guys always wake me up early. I wish your show was later.
But it could be.
We're doing well. Plugging along, enjoying this sweltering Texas heat. What the heck happened in Texas, by the way? It used to be fairly mildly dry. Not dry like the desert dry, but compared to Houston and New Orleans, pretty dry. But
yeah,
man, I'll tell you what, last couple weeks, it's felt like we moved to Houston.
This whole summer, somebody told me the other day we've had twice as much rain in May, June, July, and now August, twice as much as we normally have. So there you go. There's the answer.
Global warming.
Definitely been up because it's either raining or it's going to be raining, it seems like, almost every day. So, yeah, it's definitely been a lot stickier than – although I was talking to Art off – and he's now in South Carolina. I was talking to him before we talked to him on the air today, and he was saying, oh, my God, it is so much more humid here than it is in Dallas. And I said, well, that's saying a lot because it's been pretty sticky here in Dallas and hard to get out to, which – leads me to a question, Paul. Now that you say that, I'm going to ask you this one. Talking about the PGA Championship switching dates, and we're switching some other tournaments around, and we know that the Players is going to move and whatnot. So now the PGA Championship in a couple of years will be in June, earlier in the year. People now say, okay, well, that opens up some Texas, Arizona, Florida potential, maybe South Carolina, if there's a course there that they want to play, because heat in the summer has been a problem and a reason that they haven't had major championships in those locations. Do you buy that, first of all? Was that a reason, or were the courses not the Northeast courses that traditionally host a major championship? Why do you think there hasn't been majors played in those hotter states during the summer?
Well, okay, one of the big reasons is, like, back in the 80s when people wanted to go to bent grass greens in the South, okay? Well, that doesn't work in the summertime because you've got greens that are bent that – in the summer, when it's 95 degrees and hotter than heck, you've got to keep them wet, right? Well, wet greens are easy to play into, you know, so it's like shooting target practice. Memphis and Jackson, the two PGA Tour events at TPC Southwind and Annandale back in the 90s and in the early 2000s before they went to Bermuda grass, we played during the summer, and you could hit 5 irons out of the flyer lie rough to a back right hole location, and the ball would plug right into the green. Makes it easy. That's why there's no majors on bent grass in the South and, well, in the summer, right? So that's what happens. So now we have Bermuda grasses that are really good and greens that are really – that can be firm and fast in the summertime. So I think that time's coming. Maybe the nature of the golf courses in the South maybe haven't historically been as pretty from a, you know, terrain standpoint, right? So don't show as well on TV, maybe. These are just theories that I'm throwing out there. So that's probably an issue, right? I do think that now that we do have grasses, Bermuda grasses that are, whether it's Champions or TIFF or Mini Verde, whatever they put down on the ground at TPC Southwind in Memphis, a few years back, I think the last year I played was 12. They had to have been rolling 12 plus on the stimp meter in June. The temperatures were in the high 90s. The greens did not look dead. They were beautiful and they were firm and fast and perfect. That being said, Atlanta Athletic Club, you know, which hosted the PGA Championship. I think it was the PGA a few years ago. I played there back when they were bent grass, I think. But they were Bermuda and fabulous and awesome. It was a showcase for Bermuda grass in the South in the summer. And I think that started the wheels turning on a lot of really good clubs around the country, you know, that are still bent. The prestige of Bentongrass, you know, maybe Bentongrass is really good in the wintertime because, you know, it's perfect. Well, but who wants to play golf in the wintertime? Well, not the South, but in Texas. You know, I don't necessarily want to. Top golf, maybe. But, you know, I like it when it's a little warmer. And so anyway, that's my theory, guys. I do know now that the state of Texas has a golf course. They may have a couple, but they have one for sure that I guarantee can host the major championship. And I really hope it does, because it is the hardest golf course I've ever played on earth. And it's called Merido. And it's right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I played this past week, and it is wicked.
Tell us about this.
It's really cool looking and mind blowing that it's right in the middle of, you know, houses that were built in the 50s and industrial buildings. And there's this gem of a club, that has been redone, by a guy named Steve Smyers, who famously built Isleworth down in Orlando, and I'm sure other clubs, but, it's special, boys, and, just keep your eye on it, Merido.
Yeah.
And it will host a major, possibly USA. I don't think Dallas can host a major championship in May, but definitely in June. And, so because of the grasses and the rough growing, we think to have a late spring, and imagine having the U.S. Open in May or a PGA in May in Dallas, and the spring is late to spring and you have no rough. That would make things interesting, right?
Hey, Paul, what do you think about the Players moving back to the original TPC slot in March in Jacksonville?
Love it. Absolutely love it. I love TPC Sawgrass with overseed on it. One, it looks awesome.
Beautiful, yeah.
And they can grow that rye rough up as long as they want and make it as challenging as they want. I think the golf course was built for, I mean, to me, you know, it just looks better. You know, something about rye, the dark green aspect of rye, they can, with the mowing patterns, they can have like four different colors of green out there on the golf course. It looks stunning. I mean, you remember historically, it's a beautiful golf course to look at that time of year. And then when they went to a little later date, no rye, all Bermuda, it looks ugly. You know, the Bermuda grass just doesn't have a whole lot of pizzazz to it. You know what I mean?
It's
kind of yellowy, and especially when it's hot. But so I like it. I like it a lot. I'm not having to play it, but I think the Players enjoy it as well that time of year.
Yeah, that's my favorite time of year in Jacksonville, given the fact that I lived there for all those years. And, you know, I was there the first year we moved it across the street from Sawgrass Country Club to TPC Sawgrass. And it's just beautiful. You're absolutely right. That rye, and the year that Duval won it, they did get nasty with that course. And they had that rough built up, and it was brutal. He wanted it one under par, and he was the only guy under par that year. And I can't remember what year that was. I'm trying to look it up, and I can't find it. So I will.
Yeah, no, you're right. And that's the joy of it. I mean, with technology these days, I mean, that golf course is built very well. And they can basically make it do whatever they want it to do with the proper weather patterns. And that's obviously the best case scenario for any tournament is, maybe no rain leading up to the event, no rain during the week, and let them, you know, manage it with the sprinkling system. I think it's a good move, and I think it's good for golf. I think it'll be good for the product as a whole. It's weird. You know, we're going to have probably a season ending, late August, first week of September, but, you know, can we compete with the NFL and college football? Yeah. You know, obviously
tough.
Apparently not, right? With numbers, TV numbers, which is what really matters, I guess. And, but it doesn't matter.
Well, it also matters to
end. There's a start and an end to it, right? And so it's going to start hopefully with, it used to start with the Tour Championship or the Tournament of Champions and end with the Tour Championship. That's not the case anymore, but, anyway.
Well, there you go.
We're joined by PGA Tour veteran Paul Stankowski. Let's change gears a little bit here, Stank, and talk about what we were talking with Art Selinger about, and that's the breakdown of a lot of these players and their bodies, and Tiger being the one that we all seem to bring up most of the time, and Art's contention, and a lot of people's is, if you had to point to one thing, well, or two things, it's lifting weights that they shouldn't be lifting and locking that left knee on the drive and trying to get more power, more distance out of your drives. Do you agree with that? And what was your philosophy when you were playing? You like most guys, went through some injuries, but is locking that left knee almost a guarantee that you're going to have some breakdown at some point with the body and with the legs?
You know, it's funny. I just heard last week about the locking of the left knee. I was playing with Rick Massengale, former tour winner, won like four times, I think, on tour. He's 70 years old now.
Sure.
And the dude still hits it pure. But we were talking about it. He said, I heard that, you know, it was the left knee. He's trying to figure out how to get more length. I mean, so it doesn't end. Rick's 70, and he's still trying to figure out how to hit it farther.
70.
But he mentioned that these young kids, we're playing with these college kids in this little event we did over at Marigo that I was telling you about. But and he said he heard that it was the left knee, that they lock it up at impact, and that's what creates that you know, extra kaboom, I guess. And so I don't know. My feet were never on the ground, so it really didn't matter what locked up because it wasn't attached to anything. So guys who lock it up, I don't know. There's just a lot of violence going on. Here's the deal. I mean, I'm a lot younger than you, Tim, but when I was born, when I was a kid starting to play golf, the technology was, you know, steel shafts and wooden heads. And the wooden heads were smaller than today's three woods, basically, right? So that's what I learned how to play with.
Sure.
I wasn't swinging out of my shoes. You know, everyone tried to hit that little rope draw because it got more roll. That was how we hit it farther. We tried to hit that little draw. Now, kids are ready, these Justin Thomases of the world, they don't know what that stuff is. They're born with a driver head the size of a VW and a shaft that's like a telephone pole, and they're taught at an early age to swing as hard as they possibly can. And the club works for them, right? And so that's, now that there's a lot more athletes playing the game of golf, okay? Guys who look athletic, not Tiger Woods big. The picture I just saw in the trades the other day was, he looked like a cartoon character. But strong and athletic young guys.
Dustin Johnson.
So all that together, the TrackMan data, they now can take a golf ball or a series of golf balls, a series of heads and a series of shafts. We don't have to rewind them. Remember the shafts? It would take about 2 hours to be able to put the shaft together and play it because it had epoxy and the winding and all that kind of stuff on there. Now they can just put it right in and it's gone like a NASCAR pit stop, right? So you have the ability now to test the driver, and then the guy can go, nope, that ball's spinning at, you know, 500 RPM is too much. Let's put this shaft in it. Okay, this is the best shaft for you. Now that golf, let's work on the golf ball, and they come up with the perfect combination, right? That's what they do now. Back in the 90s, we had a launch monitor. I remember the launch monitor, but it didn't have all the data these guys have. And I think, you know, the evolution of golf and the golf shaft and golf ball, they're getting the perfect mix. But ball speed is the thing that technology cannot create. And these jokers that are hitting 170-mile-an-hour ball speed or 190-mile-an-hour ball speed, whatever they're doing nowadays, is crazy. But I think it's athleticism, stronger, faster athletes, right, in all sports, and that's also in golf. You got to swing the club fast, and some people can swing it faster than others. Technology, both in the heads and the shafts and the golf balls, but then also in the tracking technology of whether it's FlightScope, TrackMan, whatever other data that we have, that's what creates the length. I don't know if it's the snapping of that knee at impact. The fact is, God didn't create the human body to withstand golf swing forces, right? I mean, that's the thing. Wrists, how many bones in your wrist? You know, how many times did we hit it fat or hit it rude or just hit it out of a hard lie? And something's got to go on in a little wrist. So got a lot of guys you see that had wrist surgeries over the years. Jim Furyk, I dealt with it. There's been Ryan Moore. I mean, I'm sure the list goes on and on. Knee injuries, a little bit. Tiger obviously had a knee injury that didn't seem to affect him a whole lot when he played. At least it didn't affect his game a whole lot, is what I mean. And now the back, you know, guys, there again, everybody has bulging discs in their back. Some are smaller than others. Some do not hit nerves. Some do. And, you know, it's a nature of the beast. You know, every walk of life, there's people who have bad low back and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know if it's the knee that's creating it, or is this humanity that, you know, we're humans. So we're not machines. And, even if we were, we'd break down. So anyway, I don't know. I try to swing as hard as I possibly can. I am definitely, now that I've heard twice about the knee, left knee thing, I'm going to go out today and hit some balls, and I'm going to try to straighten that left knee up.
Oh, great.
See if I can pick up an extra 15 yards.
Great. Go ahead and call.
Yeah. That wasn't really the point, but go ahead. Yeah.
Call Troy ahead of time.
Give you some therapy afterwards.
Absolutely.
Hey, by the way,
I definitely will have Troy.
You know, we're on a podcast.
I'm sure something's going to break.
Yeah. Nearby. It would help. So this is, we're not doing this show live. It's a podcast, but I want to give an update here. I don't know if you guys are paying attention. First round of the Wyndham Championship, Webb Simpson shoots a 28 on the front nine. Pretty impressive. So let's keep an eye out.
Well, this course isn't too hard.
Back nine, he shot 28.
Do you think that he's going to say the course is too easy?
He likes it a lot better than,
than his home course.
He wasn't too impressed. Yeah, he wasn't so impressed with the PGA Championship, but a nice little 7 under 28 on the front nine. Pretty impressive. So we'll see. We'll see if 58-59 comes into play here.
Hey, what are the tee markers, Tim? On.
Again, we're talking with Paul Stankowski. What do you mean?
What are the tee markers at the Wyndham Championship? Have you seen them?
Little hotel rooms or something? I don't know.
No, I haven't
seen them. I think they're just like blue and white squares that say Wyndham on them. At least that's what they used to say.
Yeah, they had, I saw the other day, they had, maybe it was for a special event, but they had the little sand buckets with the shovels in them that said Wyndham.
Oh, they
red buckets.
I know that they do a,
like at the
off
beach?
To the right of a par five. Is it the back nine par five or front nine? I forget. They have a beach set up and they have models, both male and female, like, I don't mean models, but I mean, hired people to go out there and hang out on the beach all day. Literally,
it's the
coolest
little
thing. You play a par five, you look over there, you dream of being at the beach.
You gotta love that. This is a fun tournament.
It's a cool event. They do a great job.
It's a cool event, but it's also a stressful event for a lot of the guys that are sitting there on the bubble. So,
hey, they caused it, man. They could have played good early in the year. Why wait till last week?
There's a sympathetic stand.
I've been in that situation before, fellas, and my rookie year, I needed a top 10 the last event of the season just to keep my card, and I did. The second year, 1995, in San Antonio, all I have to do is make the cut to keep my card, and I missed it by a lot, and actually didn't even sign my card and got disqualified. But anyway, that's irrelevant. I barely remember it. It is a stressful deal. Not quite as stressful as Q School, but stressful nonetheless.
You know, it's stressful for Ernie Els because to get into the playoffs, he has to win this week. Nothing but win. That's tough.
I don't think Ernie's stressed about much. I don't think much moves him. He's pretty calm and cool. And he's 8 years old?
Yeah.
He's my age, 47, 48. Honestly, he still plays golf. And I'm sure that there's some passion there to play golf, but he's got a lot of other things he's doing that takes his time and energy. And
I don't think
he's stressed a whole lot. I think it's, you know, there's a writing on the wall for everybody eventually, right?
Yeah.
And eventually this thing is going to end for every athlete at every level. We don't know when, right? And so I doubt he's stressed, but he's in a bad spot, a precarious predicament. But it's winnable. Yeah. The Big Easy is a great player still.
He just hasn't
performed like he used to.
I just
he doesn't hit as far, doesn't swing his long back, and doesn't hit as far.
I just wanted him to win so he can at least make it to the Tour Championship, because I like hanging out with his entourage. We all hang out there in East Lake, and you know Bucky and Robert and his whole crowd there. They're a lot of fun to be around it, and Cuz and those guys are nuts. He's got a crowd around him.
That's a long road. If he's going to make it all the way to Atlanta.
He's not going to make it to Atlanta, I don't think. So we won't see the crowd this year.
Where's that now?
Oh, well.
Yeah, well.
It'll be fun anyway.
It'll be fun. It'll be good.
You know, you're going to go to BMW.
We appreciate all your
he's not going
to find insight.
He needs to come to the Tour Championship and just hang out with us for a couple of days.
That'd be fun.
You know, I'm sure he'll.
Yeah, what's your schedule with?
I'm talking about you. Hung out, made dollar bets on every group that came to 16. That was a lot of fun.
I'm talking about you. You need to come over.
That was way more fun. Oh, you talking about me?
Yeah.
Then absolutely. You pay me, I'll come.
Sell some belts. Hey.
And buy me unlimited Diet Dr. Peppers and
pork rinds. Pork rinds.
I'm in.
Well, we've got a room. I mean, we've got a room for you at the Omni. Omni's our sponsor, so.
You're going to have to sleep with Frank in the same room, but other than that.
Yeah, we're going to do our shows from there. It's going
to
be fun.
Yes. Let's change the name of the show to Three Amigos, and then we'll just knock it out of the park.
That would be hilarious. That would be hilarious. And our executive producer in Ponte Vedra would cancel the show. But it'd be good.
Oh, boy.
We'd get one show in.
So what else are we talking about? Hey, thank you. Pretty big event.
Tell us.
There's a what?
There's a pretty big event going on.
Which one are you talking about?
Yeah, there is. The Solheim Cup? What?
Solheim?
Yeah, that one too.
That's
exactly. I mean, the Wyndham's big because it's the last event.
It is.
For guys to get in the playoffs. It's the last event for guys to even move into the top 200. There's a lot on the line. See, it's not all about just the rich and the fame and the top 30, the top whatever it is to get in the 125. There's a lot more. There's that one, the top 200 is huge. If you can be 199 or 200 on the money list, and that's another opportunity. There's a lot going on there. And but the Solheim Cup, playing for America, that's pretty cool.
That's
and those girls, I think they're going to do it.
Yeah.
They got a pretty good team.
For the ladies.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. They got a pretty good captain and, too.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, they're looking good. Didn't the Europeans lost somebody today? Did they not? Somebody pull out?
I've not seen yet. Did
I believe I saw
the other day?
I didn't see which one. I think I saw somebody from the European team had to withdraw.
Well,
today,
come right here to Golf Talk America for the latest in detailed reporting.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, you never know. Hey, Stank, tell us about before we let you go. Tell us about your leather company. What's going on? What's the latest? You got to go to some place and sell some belts.
I'm going already. You guys always kick me off the show early. I just want to. I'm starting to enjoy it.
We
you guys
stay.
Always say, "All right, good talking to you."
Is that early?
Stay?
No, 30 minutes.
Yeah, actually, we are. I'm heading today. Heading down to Austin. We have an event down at Austin Country Club.
Ooh.
Beautiful Austin Country Club.
Oh,
where
yeah.
They nice. Hosted the Dell. What was it? The the match play, right?
It's a great golf course. Wow.
Earlier this year, and we got an event there. We're doing belts for the players, so that's fun. So yeah, the business is going.
What's
okay.
The name of the company?
And Francis Edward is the name of it, in case you're wondering. So we do events. We sell in the pro shops. I'll even sell to you guys if you're interested, because I've seen your belt game, and you definitely need to step it up.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're absolutely right about that. My belt game's poor at best.
You knew that.
Hey, it's francisedward.com, correct?
Yeah, you can't buy it online, though. That's the thing. You got to buy it through a shop. So if you can't, if your pro shop doesn't carry it, talk to the buyer. Talk to the pro. Have them give me a call.
Tell them to.
My cell phone number is 867-5309. That's it.
BR-549.
But no, seriously, we sell through golf shops. So love it. It's fun. As a PGA professional myself, I love that we're going through the golf shop. And some of the shops are still owned and operated by the PGA professional, and some are operated obviously by the club. So that's what we wanted to do. That's what we do.
I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. You may or may not know, but
pocket wallets,
who in Nashville or the Nashville area do you have? Fairview Plantation? Bell Mead probably has it.
I do not have a single account in Nashville.
Really?
Actually, I don't. Mm. I don't. So, Frank?
Yeah, we got to make
some
sales.
You want to be my rep?
Yeah, we'll
do the streets.
I'll do it. I'll hit the streets. Yeah. Heck yeah. I'll get out there.
Get them in
there. We are not currently in Nashville.
Need
and there's a lot of musicians that could use some really cool straps. Maybe even guitar straps. Maybe I should do that.
Belts.
Make some cool guitar straps made out of metallic pink leather or something like that. That'd
you know Vince Gill, right? You know Vince.
I know Vince. I've met Vince. I'm not a sales guy, though. I hate sales. So
I hate it too, but we'll just tell him he needs,
call a lot of
needs
people.
The belt.
I like talking about it. I just don't like to call people that don't want to listen to me.
begging
so
is no fun.
That's why I make you guys call me.
There you go. Did you hear that, Tim? Hey, one other question before we let Paul go is when we came back in after the break, yeah. How did you, since you're doing a lot of PGA Live, PGA Tour Radio, and John Albanese and all those guys that produce, we're right up there with them, aren't we, with our quality of bringing the music in properly and bringing the team back on? I thought that was a great great flow.
You know what?
You so like that
there,
one.
There is, you guys are great, and I love it. And there's always a place for something, right? And what you guys have here is something. I mean, it's something.
Wow. That's as nice a compliment as I've ever gotten, Paul.
Hey, the next time you see our executive
producer.
There's
a place for something, and you guys definitely are something.
Next time you see our executive producer, put in a good plug.
You know what? It's a morning show, right?
It is.
Yeah, well. Well, depends on when you listen to it.
Well, how are you spelling morning? How are you spelling morning?
I would highly recommend either in the morning, because if you listen to us too late at night, it might keep you up, because you know it's comedy, yeah, and all that kind of stuff. So you listen in the morning, get a cup of coffee.
Yeah,
you know, it's good
get your day started.
You guys, I love you guys.
I never knew you.
Three amigos. Come on, dude.
That would be fun. I never knew Tim was a shock jock.
We know people. Yeah, I know. Seriously. The Howard Stern of PGA Tour Radio.
Oh, dear God.
No. Why even go there?
Don't
we don't need
that.
To go there.
The opinion
it's not the Howard Stern. It's the Frank, Tim, and Paul. FTP. There it is.
FTP.
FTP. I don't know what that stands. Wow. We can find an acronym.
No, that used to be a golf club, wasn't it? FTP was a stick in the old days, I think.
Isn't it flower
the
shop?
The F is easy. We got the F part down, so that's fine. It starts with F. Being freaking
terrible production,
polarizing talk. There it is.
Freaking polarizing talk.
Radio. See, FTP.
Wow.
Trust me, you guys just you know you don't need you don't know you need me, but I think you need me. I think I can help.
We need some help.
Anytime,
for sure.
Call me anytime. I will pick up the phone for you guys.
We appreciate that too, Paul.
We will do it.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Paulie, thank you so much for your time, your insight, your wisdom, your clever repartee. We appreciate it every time that you join us.
Hey,
I don't know what you got, but you got something.
But I got something.
Something
go
maybe.
Team USA.
The cryo tank will help.
Go Webb, shoot 59 today, and go Team USA.
There you go.
I'm hoping for Dream.
Yeah, he just bogeyed 10, so that's he just
bring
got
it
down. So
well, 59 is hard. See, we started talking about it, and he's tanking. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. I'm sure Webb appreciates it.
We jinxed him.
Sorry.
We jinxed him. Everybody will tell him about it. Hey, Paul, have a great week, all right? And we'll talk to you again real soon.
All right, you guys too.
Thanks, buddy.
See you, boys.
Okay. Take care. All right. Paul Stankowski, tour veteran.
That's too funny.
Hang up on us as quick as he can. Yeah. Wow.
FTP, the Three Amigos. We should think about the Tour Championship.
He's trying to come up with something.
That's a new show we can do for PGAtour.com called The Three Amigos, and we do a recap once a week of the tournament. And the PGA Tour replay show is kind of
the tough part about
techie. And it's not. It's a good show, but we could do The Three Amigos and take on roles of...
The problem is we just have to get some medication because, you know, Stanky, I did a show with Steve Johnson, Paul Stankowski.
You did?
He's a little ADD. So, yes. So it's like when you start going, then Paul starts going and you're never really sure where, which is kind of the fun of it. Kind of
like me.
Where it's going to head. You know, it's like, where is that? Yeah. Where's that one off to? And you're like, okay. And you just sit back and wait for him to kind of bring it back. And you're like, okay, how was that little rant? And he always starts laughing at himself like, I don't even know what I'm talking about. Like, okay, go. I'm comfortable.
Hey, you know where the tournament is this week, don't you?
I always have a good time with him.
You know where the PGA Tour stop is this week,
right? In Greensboro?
It's in Greensboro.
Yes.
Cool town.
Yes.
Do you know that putt-putt, the only patented game of miniature golf, was founded in 1954 by Don Clayton, 2 hours southeast of Greensboro in Fayetteville, North Carolina? How do you like that?
The game of putt-putt?
Yes, putt-putt.
You're saying?
Yeah, putt-putt.
Huh.
Putt-putt.
I did not know that.
And did you know John McGinnis is a member of Sedgefield Country Club, by the way? Huh. He's making too much money.
No.
He is a member, yeah.
They tried to have a putting tour, you know, kind of like the long drive event.
Yeah, that
everybody gets so excited about. It just shows you the difference. But people don't want to see anybody putt, right? Because you can be big, small, whatever. There's something about power, I guess, golf or anything else that excites people. That precision, like putting, doesn't quite excite them the same way.
Well,
it never really
excitement
off.
Is the drive.
Even we all know that's the scoring.
Excitement's the drive. You're right, the power. But now think about this. Yeah. On super fast greens, with all the money on the line, putting is the drama. That's the drama. They couldn't get that drama into putt-putt.
It really is.
You know, and that's it. I mean, the putting's the most exciting part. The drive's not exciting. It's kind of cool. But to me, putting is just, it's an art.
It sets it up. But, yeah, it doesn't, you don't score on the hole off the tee, right?
No.
You score with the putt. You sink a long putt. It is exhilarating. It's a hole. So, yeah. But, again, it's, I guess it just doesn't translate. So,
I guess,
much for the putting tour.
I don't know.
All right, let's play some music here, Frankie Frank. I think it's time to pull the plug on this one.
Can you hear the music? Can you?
They hit the wrong
button.
The pawpaw here.
Get us out of here.
I'm losing my hearing. Yes, yeah. Hey, hello. Thanks, everybody. We appreciate you listening to us and putting up with us. Thank you. God bless each and every one of you. Also, thanks to Art Sellinger for being with us and Paul Stankowski. We do love those guys for joining us and entertaining everybody, as they do every time. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. We appreciate you being here, and please join us next time on Golf Talk America. Take care, everybody.